Well, good Sunday morning to you. Welcome to another News and Focus podcast. Are you worshiping the idol of open options? By Barry Cooper, found in Christianity Today. The false god limitless choices like those at a coffee house is enslaving modern Americans. How to resist him? As an Englishman, one of the biggest challenges I faced in America, you miss a package delivery from FedEx and you have to call them to arrange a new delivery time. The problem is that when you call, you aren't connected to a human being. You are connected to a talking robot programmed to recognize what you are saying in English. Or should I say, it is programmed to what you programmed to recognize what you are saying in American English. Every time I call FedEx, I end up connecting the entire conversation to an accent that can only be described as an offspring of John Wayne and Judy Dench. The talking robot, who is trying extremely hard not to laugh, keeps asking me to repeat myself. For a Brit, it is absolutely humiliating. It is as if someone has implemented the whole system as a payback for nearly two centuries of colonial rule. Your place for many of us. Making choices and moving on with our lives seems increasingly difficult. We find ourselves paralyzed, unable to make choices about relationships, dating, marriage, money, family, and career. I want to suggest that if we feel unable to make these choices, it's not because we have the wrong false god. 1 Kings 18:21 describes a crucial moment of decision. It's the final showdown between God of Israel and the false god of Baal. Elijah was able to choose once and for all between the living God who delivered them and this false god who has captured their affections. How long will you waver between two? Follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. They seem unable or unwilling to make a choice. They want to keep their options open. How different are we as Christians in the 21st century? Would you prefer to make it add no turning back choice? Or if you need be, do you find that you're afraid to commit? Do you replay to party invitations with maybe rather than yes or no? Keep your smartphone switched on at all times, even in a meeting, so that you're never fully present at any given moment. Do after church, or will you look over her shoulder for a better conversation partner? If so, you may be worshiping the God of open options. People wait years before declaring a college major. They only go to stores with a guaranteed return policy. And it's not unusual for a person to date someone for years before getting married, if they ever do get married. We reserve the right to keep our options open in every department of our lives, from sex to spirituality. In his book, The Paradox of Choice, psychologist Barry Schwartz explains why we have trouble committing. Why we love to keep our options open. He says that as a culture, we imagine that the more options means more freedom. And most people think that limitless freedom must be a good option. The irony, Schwartz writes, is that this apparently limitless choice doesn't actually make us happy, overwhelming, and actually makes it difficult for us to have the joy of committing to anything or anyone. Even if we do commit, our culture then makes us feel dissatisfied with the choice we've made. During a recent Starbucks visit, I stood behind a decaf grand sugar-free vanilla non-fat latte with extra foam and milk heated to 140 degrees. I think, maybe I want 140 degree coffee too. Maybe I thought too, my choice of milk temperature up to this point had been. Suddenly, his choice made me unhappier about my own. I began to covet. I wasn't sure what I wanted anymore. I became anxious and indecisive. I wasn't sure. I was ready to commit, either to my kind of coffee or to his. Was this really freedom of choice? What if we take the same multiplicity of trivial options we have at Starbucks and apply them to bigger questions? Where we should work? Where we should live? Whom we should marry? Or whom we should worship. It seems that the more options we have, the more afraid we are of choosing. We become enslaved to being non-committal. We don't want to make a mistake or cut down our options. In fact, we become so fearful of making a choice, we simply refuse. To do that, we are worshiping an idol, a false god, one of the Baals of our culture. In fact, his name is Open Options. Over the years, the Israelites had seen themselves delivered from slavery repeatedly, spectacularly, and miraculously by the living God, as were the gods of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Yet here they are in 1 Kings 18, their faces dust before Baal, worshiping soon-to-be-defeated God. It should disgust us. But as God's people today, how different are we? We have been delivered from slavery to sin by Christ's death and resurrection, spectacularly and miraculously. Yet here we are, many of us, worshiping the very gods that Christ triumphed over when we know they are defeated gods. They will only drag us to our deaths if we cling to them. We worship the God of open options. He is killing us. He kills our relationship. I'm too involved. He kills our service to others because he tells us it might be better to keep our weekends to ourselves. He kills our giving because in financial times, you never know when you might need that money. He kills our joy in Christ because he tells us it's better not to be thought of as too spiritual. Of all about the God of open options is that you may not even know you're worshiping him because he pretends not to be a God at all. In fact, he promises you freedom from all gods, all responsibilities. Keep your options open, he says. Worship me, and you don't have to serve anything or anyone. No commitment necessary. Freedom. Similarly, the Israelites thought that by saying nothing, they were not committing idolatry. But when they chose not to decide, they made a choice. By refusing to act, they were actually turning away and committing an obscene act of spiritual adultery by worshiping the God of open options. Some modern translations describe God's people as wavering between two opinions, but the Hebrew is closer to the word limping. Their indecisiveness was crippling them. The loving God who redeems choices. The living God, the triune God, did not create us to keep our options open. He didn't create us to live in fear of making a choice. He didn't create us to be like Al Pacino's character in the 1995 movie Heat, a man who vows never to get involved in a relationship he can't walk away from in 30 seconds. God created us to commit to him and to others. He created us to choose. It's right to be careful in our decision-making, of course, to pray, to seek counsel from Scripture and from wise Christians. The bigger decision, the more careful we need to be. But there comes a point when pausing becomes procrastination, when waiting is no longer wise. There comes a point when not to choose becomes idolatry. It becomes a lack of trust in God who ordains the decisions we make, gathers up the frayed ends, and works all things for our good. And be wise, but then resist, rest in God's total sovereignty and goodness, and choose. Make a decision. Commit. Be wholeheartedly and single-minded. James 1:6-10 puts it like this: believe and do not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of a sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Such person is double-minded and unstable. They do. Trust that the God is good and sovereign and redeems every choice we make. If even the choices of those who murdered his own son were ordained for our infinite good, Acts 27 and 28, then how can we doubt that he intends good to come from our choices, however ill-advised they may be? Well, I think that is just excellent. The article goes on, but I think that's a great stopping point, and it really speaks to the degree to which you trust that God is sovereign and more than capable of guiding your every decision and working all things to good. It's a trust issue. Ultimately, it's a trust issue. And Barry Cooper is to be commended for an excellent article on the idolatry of the 21st century. In the area of being a pastor, the area that I see it the most is a failure to choose to commit to a local church. Have you committed to a local church? And the local congregation for the Thanks for listening. Have a great day.